Well, brethren, like it has been said, it's almost over, and it's hard to believe. I'm almost like, Josh, I want to say seven more. But I'm not sure I could take seven more physically. Oh, my goodness. But it is the time of the Holy Days, and the Holy Days, of course, begin way back in the spring, don't they? And I would like to take a look today at the Holy Days, not what they mean individually, because, you know, we've heard a lot about that down through the years, and we know a lot about that. Instead of looking at the holy days, at what they mean, I'd like to, you know, God's plan and so on. I'd like to look at the holy days and see the holy days as a whole. What do they teach us about God? What can we learn about God from his holy days? Not the specifics, but all of them as taken as a whole. What do they teach us about God's character, about what he is, how he looks at things, what he is as God? And if as we look at that and understand that, it will help us, I hope, to be more like him. Because that is the goal, is to become more like God. So if we learn more about him, then we can become like him. And I think the first thing that the Holy Days teach us is that God is a great organizer and planner. Now, we can learn that from other things, too. We can learn that from nature as we look around, how beautiful and organized the cosmos is and the earth that we live on. But the Holy Days teach us that as well, because everything is organized, isn't it? It follows a plan. It's very, very beautiful. Everything takes place exactly when it's supposed to. And that's a beautiful thing. You know, the Passover is first, and all of these other things fall into place behind it. And that shows us that God has thought this out. He has planned this. He is organized. Just as he organizes, you know, all of the earth and all the physical creation, he organizes this for us so that we can see how organized he is. And it's an amazing thing. It also shows us that he has organized his church. Now, I don't mean a corporate type organization. I mean the church is organized in a way that we are all a part of it, and we all have our individual gifts to give to it, and we all have our part to play in it. And if we look at it that way, then it can be a very organized thing like it is here. We can all be together. We don't all have to be the same. We don't have to be yellow pencils. But it's all organized in a way that helps the whole church in so many, many ways. All of our gifts contributing. It's a beautiful thing. And all this was done so long ago. So long ago. You know, it says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 18 and 20, and I'm just going to shorten it down. It says, "For you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, who was foreordained before the foundation of the world." This was all planned out a long, long time ago. I don't know how long it took God to do it, but it's a beautiful, organized, wonderful, planned thing that we are privileged to be a part of. And so, you know, he didn't leave so important a thing as this for chance. You know, sometimes it's fun to do things just as they come up. Let's go over there, you know. We didn't plan to go over there, but that looks fun. And that's okay. But the important things in life, I believe, need to be planned and organized. And I think this is a good lesson for us. God takes care in what he does. He plans it. He organizes it. And we should do that too. The important things in life, we should organize and plan. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40 says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." And that can't always take place unless there is some planning and organization. I mean, look at the site here. All that has gone into making this such a beautiful, well-run site is taking a lot of planning. It's taking a lot of organization, a lot of people working together. And I think we're all very thankful for that, so that we're not just kind of running around, well, what are we supposed to do? You know, what's going on? You know, it's clear to us. And God's plan has been made clear to us, and his whole creation. And, of course, his holy days, following in the way that they do, teach us that. And the next thing that the holy days teach us is that God is a God of continuity. continuity, or even as we just heard, discipline and order. God formulated this plan long time ago, didn't he? And yet it continues on to this day. There have been really no interruptions. God knows what he's doing. And his plan was going to work the first time he implemented it. You know, God doesn't make mistakes. His planning, unlike ours sometimes, is perfect. You know, we don't go through Passover and unleavened bread and then come to Pentecost and then all of a sudden God says, oops, wait a minute, I forgot something. We need to put another holy day in there. Or we need to shift these two. I got them backwards. No, God doesn't do that at all. His planning is perfect. And all that he has said continues to this day as he has always planned it. He hasn't forgotten anything. His way of life, that's very reassuring, isn't it? We don't have to wonder, well, I wonder if next year things are going to be different. You know, maybe we're going to do it on this month, or there's going to be a revelation that, well, maybe, no, it's not like that at all. We know exactly what's going to come up every year. We can have confidence in it. We know we're going to learn and grow in it. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. There is continuity to God's plan. And we know there aren't going to be any rude surprises, but how about us? Is there continuity with us in our lives? We need to plan things out, as I've said, and we need to continue in this way. We need to continue in this way. Let's look at a couple of scriptures in that regard. Let's go to John 8 and verse 31. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. We're all called to be disciples. That's learners. We're to learn this way, to be taught and learn this way. And so he says, you know, continue in my word, then you'll continue to be my disciples. So we want to continue just as God's word and God's way and his will and his plan continues. We want to continue in that way as too, not get sidetracked. We don't want things to go wrong so that we get sidetracked and we're not continuing in this way. Let's look at 1 Timothy 4. There's a lot of scriptures about this. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16. Take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine which he has taught them. Continue in them, for in doing this you shall save both yourself and those that hear you. So here, again, exhorted to continue in the way. And God has showed us that way through the holy days, hasn't he? And through his law and his word and all the things that are involved in what we do. We must continue in that way. Colossians 1:23, I'll read another one. Colossians 1 and verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I am Paul a minister, we can now rejoice in the suffering. And he goes on. I'm just taking this a little out of context. But he says, you know, continue in the faith in which you have been grounded in. You know, some have not continued. They have decided that, you know, the holy days, and they're not what they really cracked up to be, or whatever. They've lost this sense of continuing with God and what he has told them to do. God's way continues. We should continue with it as well. And that's an important lesson for us to remember and to learn. Now, I have to ask the question, why is there such continuity with God? And that brings us to the next thing that the Holy Days teach us. The reason that God is able to do these things is because of his power. His power and his might. We were singing songs earlier about how awesome, indescribable God is. And they were moving because, wow. You know, I think we understand the power of God a little bit because we see his creation and we see what he has done in our own lives and so on, but I don't think we really understand the power of God. It is so far beyond what we can possibly imagine. And so the reason that he can spell out what he's doing in the holy days and bring it to pass is because of his power. You know, sometimes we make plans, and we'll have all these great ideas, and we're going to do this and do that, and it doesn't take place. It doesn't happen. Why is that? Well, sometimes we don't have the power to bring it to pass. You know, we may run out of money, or we may run out of this, or the car may break down, or, you know, whatever it happens to be. We get fired, whatever. We don't have the power to bring it to pass. But God does. He has absolutely ultimate power. And so if He has said it will take place, it will. You know, the whole chapter of Isaiah 45 describes some of the power of God. Also in Job 38, He tells us about that. You know, all of these things take place because God is able to bring it to pass. And so we want to tap into that power. We not can't do anything on our own. But if we tap into the power of God, then there is a source that we can use to keep us on the way. Let me just read Isaiah 14 along this line. Isaiah 14, and let's read verse 24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. He's saying, you know, I've come up with this plan, and nothing is going to interrupt it. Nothing. Not the power of Satan, not anything that man can do. I'm going to fulfill it. I'm going to bring it to pass. And down in verse 27, for the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, who can turn it back? Well, the answer is nobody. Nobody. So, we depend upon that power to keep us along, going along where we should go. For of our own, we can do nothing. We must have the power of God within us. So that is another great lesson that we learn, I believe, from the Holy Days. The power of God. The next thing that the Holy Days teach us is that God is a God of faithfulness and commitment. You know, God made this plan. He wanted us to be a part of it. He wanted us to come to salvation. And He is absolutely committed to that. You know, sometimes we make commitments and then we bail out of them. What would it be like if God said, well, you know, I made all these promises you read about and I promised to do this and I promised to do that, but, you know, I just don't think I'm going to do that. I've lost interest. We do that sometimes. Sometimes we'll make a commitment and we can't fulfill it or we don't want to. God's not that way. He's absolutely faithful and committed to what He is doing and that plan that shows through the Holy Days. He made promises to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the children of Israel, and He is fulfilling them or will fulfill them because of His power again. But He is committed to that. He's faithful. He's faithful to that which He has committed Himself to do. The Holy Days say, I've made a commitment to you and to your salvation, and I'm going to stand by it. And as long as you want to be a part of it, I'll see that you get there. Hebrews 13:5, in the last part of it says, I will never leave you or forsake you. We don't have to worry that God is going to lose interest in us. He's going to change His mind. He's not going to change His mind. We might change our mind about Him, but He will not change His mind about us. There was that scripture in John 6 and verse 37, and I want to read it in the Moffat translation. It says, all those will come to me who are the Father's gift to me, and never will I reject even one of them. Boy, that should give us great hope that God is that committed, that if the Father has sent us to the Son, He will never reject us. So that commitment is there. That commitment is there. How about us? Are we committed to God in the same way? Is our commitment as strong as God's? Well, it should be if God is in us and the Holy Spirit is working in us. As Matt said, you know, we must take up our cross daily and follow Him. That shows our commitment to God. And to do the things that Josh has talked about, the studying and the praying, those things that we know will deepen our relationship with God. So commitment. Commitment is one thing that God has and that we need to learn. Another thing that the Holy Days teach us is that everything in life is a process. Everything in life is a process. And we know that But even the holy days, picture that. You know, there isn't just one big holy day. And everything happens in that day. No, there's a whole bunch of holy days, aren't there? There's a whole plan. There's a whole process that we go through. And it carries us through. And we know all about the many processes. Life is a process. You know, we start as a little baby, and we learn to crawl and then to walk, and we learn to speak. Education is a process. You have to start with the very basics. And then you learn more and more and more as you go along. Just about everything is a process. If you build a house, you know, it just doesn't pop into place instantly. You know, you have to put the foundation down, and then you have to do the framing, and you have to do the wiring, and on it goes. Building an automobile, it has to go down the assembly line. There's a process putting it together. And that's true with us, too. Spiritual growth is a process. You know, we start out as babes in Christ, and we need that milk, that truth that is the first thing that we need, and then we grow and grow, and finally we get some more of the meat of God's Word, and so on and so forth. And the holy days is a process as well. We know that we're going to start at one point, we're going to move forward, and finally we're going to end at that wonderful time that this season pictures, when Christ will return, and even what the eighth day pictures. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, are we patiently allowing that process to work out in us? Sometimes we get impatient with the process, don't we? I know kids get impatient with having to do things. And I get impatient, too. You know, sometimes I have to go through a certain process at work, and I wish I could speed it up. But sometimes you just can't speed up things. Are we patiently allowing the process that God is doing in us to work out? Are we getting in too big of a hurry? Are we not allowing Him to take us through the way that we need to go to bring us to where He wants us to be? And every one of us, I think, goes in a little bit different path. But we have to patiently let God's process work out in us. And that's something that we need to learn from the holy days as well. The holy days teach us about the fairness and equity of God. You know, God has a plan for everybody, and He is perfectly righteous in His judgment. When the time of judgment comes, and all of us must answer, and all of us will answer, His judgment will be right and just. And if we have been doing these other things that I've been talking about, then we need not fear that judgment. We can look at with hope. You know, because there's not just judgment to condemnation, but there's also judgment to salvation and life. And so we want to look forward to that judgment that is to life and to glory. But God has everything in a right order. And some people call now, some people call later. There's always an order and a justness to God. Another thing that the holy days teach us is that God is the ultimate giver and gives us all good things. You know, everything about the holy days is God giving to us, isn't it? I mean, we give Him worship and we give Him praise and we give Him what we can, but really, most is what God gives to us. All the blessings of life. You know, life itself, just waking up this morning, what a blessing that was. Because one day, we won't wake up. And we'll have to await that time when we will arise for good. But everything is a gift from God. He's given us life. He's given us the special knowledge, that mystery of the kingdom of God that people down through history have never had. And we have that gift of the mystery of the kingdom of God. He's given us the Holy Spirit that comforts us. Wow, what a gift. Gives us knowledge, gives us wisdom, understanding and discernment of His Word. He's given us grace and forgiveness. Wow, what a gift, without which we would not be able to progress any further. Forgiveness through His Son. So, if God is the ultimate giver and the giver of all good things, then we too should be a giver, shouldn't we? We should be a giver of good things. We should be giving to each other our love, be giving to each other help in time of need, physical things if we can. Like it talks about in James, if you see your brother need something, you need to give it to him. Are we givers? Or do we held back in kind of a selfishness? God is never selfish. He gives to us more than we can even accept. And His blessings roll over us and go on to bless other people. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. But we need to learn to be givers too. We need to give to each other. We need to give to our families. We need to give to the whole congregation. Be givers. There are many things that the Holy Day teaches us, and I'm sure you could come up with others, about God. But without a doubt, the most important thing that they teach us about God is that He has absolutely immeasurable love. They teach us about His love. You know, there was no reason for God to come up with this plan and create man and do all this thing unless He loved us. He loves us. And He wants us to be a part of His plan. And He's gone through all this effort and this planning and all this stuff for us because He loves us. In fact, He gave us His only Son as a sacrifice for us, to redeem us, because He loved us. We know that from John 3:16. 1 John 3 and verse 4, I'll read that. 1 John 3 and verse 4. That's not what I want. Let's see. No, that's not what I want. I'm sorry. Well, anyway. I'm in chapter 3. Goes my tablet again. Sorry. Okay. 1 John 3. Let's go to chapter 4. That's what I want to go to. Look in verse 8. He that loves not knoweth not God, for God is love. So if there's no love in our hearts, we're not being like God. We're not showing His love. And the love comes to us because He loves us. We know that we love Him because He first loved us. A great, great lesson that we need to learn. In this was manifested the love of God, what I just said, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Again in chapter 10, or verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So again, all of these things show us that God loved us and went through all this trouble just for us. It's an amazing thing. Now, how about us? Do we need to give God our love? Well, of course we do. We have learned that God's love is overpowering. Now, we need to love God too. What does it say in Matthew 22? Matthew 22. And in verse 37. The man came to him and asked him, "What is the greatest commandment?" Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And then go on to love your neighbor as yourself." This is how we reciprocate. When we understand what God has done for us, then we reciprocate and we love Him with all that we have in us. Our heart, our mind, our soul, everything. We want to love God because we understand what He has done for us. And all that pictured in the Holy Day plan. So even though there are specific things that each holy day teaches us, I believe that if we look at the entire plan, we can see these traits of God, these things that show God in His power, in His might, in His glory, in His love, His unconditional love for us, His desire to see us with Him. All of these things the holy days teach us as a group. And that's a wonderful thing. They not only teach us the plan of God, but they teach us about God. And we have the honor and the privilege and responsibility to become like Him because we see these traits. So let's remember as we go through the holy days, we're almost done with them for the year, but they'll start up again. And let's remember all of these traits that we need to be learning because we see them in God. The tremendous, wonderful things that they teach us about our God and that we need to learn about Him.